Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the place to be if you are a sci-fi or fantasy reader. My name is Laura and I am your host. I am a reader, writer, and whiskey drinker here to share with you the person behind the page, the author, and today's featured author is Christy Nicole. British writer Christy Nicole is achieving freedom from the pains of her Ehlers-Danlos syndrome diagnosis by bringing fantasy worlds to life for her readers. Christy enjoys spending time in her fuzzy PJs with her kitty arch nemesis, Moo, and loves all things mermaids, unicorns, and glitter. Christy Nicole is currently working on a supersized series called the Christy Nicole Fantasy Infiniverse. But today, we are talking about her book, Something Blue, which is a standalone dystopian romance. Here's what it's all about. In the city of Monopolis, where happily ever after is just a scientific formula away, Valentine Moreland has been waiting 9 years for her day to come. Now it's here, and she will marry the man of her dreams, a stranger to her, before being swept off to life of carefree luxury and bliss, courtesy of the Jigsaw Project. However, all is not as Valentine imagined, as her new husband is quickly discovered as not the man of her dreams, but one who claims he isn't capable of love at all. Harboring an intense paranoia for the system, Clark threatens to throw her into a world not of bliss, but of scary consequence where her every emotion is under scrutiny. Can it be that the scientific formula with a 99% success rate got it all wrong? Or is everything in the world of Bliss Inc. more sinister than it seems? I absolutely adored this book. I flew through it, as is the case with most of the books for the podcast. I read it without even knowing what it was about. I just read it because it was recommended by a bookstore. It was a free ebook download from their newsletter. And I dove in and I absolutely loved it. And I thought, I gotta talk to Christy. I gotta get her on the show. And so I reached out and she said yes. And so here we are. So let's dive in to this interview with Christy. Hello, Christy, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. It's raining here. Shocker. It's England.
I'm so excited to talk to you today, and we're going to be talking all about Something Blue, which is a standalone novel of yours. It's been a while since you wrote that book. You have a lot of other books that hopefully we'll be able to talk about within this interview as well. But before we dive into all that, tell us, why did you decide I'm going to be a writer?
Funny story. I was doing my master's degree in 21st century literature, and I got a chronic pain diagnosis, so I couldn't continue to make it to lectures and do the workload. So I got this diagnosis and I was like, oh, I can't finish doing my master's, like, I'm too ill. And my partner was like, well, if you sit and do nothing, then your brain will basically just eat itself. What about that book you have been writing that I found in your desk drawer while you were having a shower? And I was like, you weren't supposed to see that. And he was like, well, I did, so deal with it. And here we are 7 years later. Almost 7 years.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's interesting. I like that. I didn't know that about you. Yeah, that'll force you to write a book. I think a lot of people were forced to get creative, especially during the quarantine within the last couple years. And so it's interesting how that's a similar backstory for a lot of people. They're like, I had to do something, or maybe I lost my job and I had this passion and I was like, got to make money somehow. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. All right. So with Something Blue, I actually found it through a local bookstore here in Seymour, Indiana, The Magic of Books. And ironically, you were actually here for a book signing.
Yeah, I was.
Because they had had it on their newsletter. Yeah, they had had it on their newsletter as a freebie to basically prep for you coming to the States for a book signing. And I was in Ireland. We had literally swapped continents at the same exact time while you were having your book signing. So I wasn't able to come and say hello. But I was wondering, did you want to tell us a little bit about that experience? Had you come to the States before?
I've been to the States before. I haven't been to the States since I got diagnosed with the disease that I have, which is called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's connective tissue disorder that causes my joints to spontaneously pop out, which is super fun. But yeah, I know Jenna, who is just the best. I love her. And I knew her before she even had a bookstore. In Seymour, Indiana. I knew her because she was an indie book blogger And she picked up my first book back in 2015 and reviewed for me. And we've been friends ever since. So I came and it was surreal because I met people who'd come from all across the US. I had people came from Texas. I had people come from Arkansas, Florida, all over. And I met people that I've been talking to for like 7 or 8 years, which was amazing. And we did the signing at 1952 Cafe. And then we did like a meal afterwards because I wanted to spend more time with everyone. Because for me, coming all that way and just doing a signing for 4 hours didn't seem adequate somehow. It was really cool as well. Like, I got to see the store and I got to hang out with Jenna, and yeah, it was an amazing day. It was really, really, really great.
Yeah, I was so bummed that I wasn't here, because it's like, I don't travel. I never travel. And so the one time that I'm gone, there's a author event that I actually want to attend. And so I was so bummed. But I heard great things. I saw great things on social media. And yeah, Jenna's great. All right, so let's dive a little bit into this book. So that's the backstory about how I found you, Connection Points. I love it. Tell us, what is this book all about?
So, funny story about how this book actually came to be written. Firstly, I will say it is a dystopian romance novel. It's a standalone, and it's set in a society where men and women are separated until they are paired and married by a scientific formula that is supposed to kind of cleanse the genetic pool and make people happy. Now, I just finished writing my debut trilogy called the Title Kiss Trilogy when I'd literally been done with the draft for the third book for about 2 days. And I was sitting there and I was in a lot of pain. And it was 4 in the morning. And I can remember exactly the day it was because it was the 31st of October. Because NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, starts on the 1st of November. And I sat there and I was like, oh my God, I have this idea for this book. And it came out of nowhere. I was just watching trash on the TV. I was like, dystopian society, people married by science. Oh my God, that's a really good idea. So the next day I was like, mum, you have to take me into town. Because I was living with my parents at the time. You have to take me into town. I need a new notebook. She was like, oh my God, what are you writing now? And I was like, I'm going to do National Novel Writing Month. And she was like, you've just finished 3 books. Like, and the books that I wrote for my debut trilogy were between 160,000 and 200,000 words. By comparison, Something Blue is 120,000. I was like, no, it's just going to be a quick one. It's just going to be short. I'm going to keep it under 100,000 words. I didn't keep it under 100,000 words. So I started writing Something Blue on the 1st of November, and I finished it on the 30th of November.
I wrote it in a month. That's incredible.
It was just kind of like a little bonus for that year, I guess. It was so random because people were like, oh, like, you're not doing mermaids. I was like, no, there's something totally different, totally like random. And it got so much more traction than any of my other books had. The reaction to the release of that book compared to my other fantasy stuff, it still sells better than all my fantasy books. It was just such a random moment of, here's this story for you, go write it, from like the universe. And I did. And everything just kind of clicked together with it. It was really surreal because normally when you think of a book, you think of like a struggle in the process. This was very much, I had the idea, I knew the characters, I wrote it. The first draft pretty much went on to be the final draft with edits. It was a very, very smooth process.
I wish that was my story for my books, but and like you said, that's not normal. Usually we struggle a lot more when it comes to writing. So that's incredible to have that many words in that short of time. I use National Novel Writing. I use it currently for a lot of the books that I am writing, and I've never been able to get over like maybe 50,000. That's the goal, is to write 50,000 within the month.
Yeah.
So you writing significantly more is very impressive. And while you're in pain and having all of this personal stuff go on too, I can't imagine Wow. Well, props to you. You are incredible.
I think it helps that I'm in pain because I have, like, most people, like, oh, you know, like, I can sit down and write, or I could watch, you know, Game of Thrones, or I could do this. I think when you're in pain, it's very much, how can I escape from this? And it's why the tagline of my brand is freedom through fantasy. And I have found so many chronic pain readers and sufferers who have become my readers because it appeals to them in that way, because they know I suffer the same thing.
Oh, that's incredible that you have that following, those people that they can relate to you. Oh, that's great. All right. So diving a little deeper into Something Blue, this world, like you mentioned, it's a dystopian world where people are married off based on science called the Jigsaw Project. And after a certain age, males and females are separated, and then they're prepped within the science experiment to be matched with their perfect mate. And there's a 99% success rate that this is going to work. They're going to have a happily ever after. So I know you just said that you don't really know where the story came from, but as you were writing, like, what type of inspiration or motivation kind of kept you going and keeping the ideas flowing, if you can remember? I mean, it was a while ago.
It was a while ago. I think as I always do with my books, and I remember very clearly this about the process with Something Blue, I like to subvert traditional ideas. So when I do mermaids, I like to show the fairy tale aspect of mermaids and then do the darker aspect. With this, it was very much, I think we are fed the fairy tale of marriage very much in our society now. And it was taking that and tipping it on its head and feeding it to people in a way that was distinctly not religious. It was the opposite, because obviously marriage is steeped in religious history. Everybody kind of does their own thing and they have it very, like, unique to them now, which is great. But I wanted to do something where it was, instead of having religious doctrine behind it, I wanted to do something a lot more clinical. And you have this very dark, sterile aesthetic for the books, and I try to express the themes of the novels within the settings. So when you have Valentine on her own at the beginning, everything is white, and it's this marriage kind of, like, that's her when she's in this sort of, like, virginal bride headspace. And as you go through, her world starts to get more and more colorful, because her mindset is changing and she's starting to see that not everything is black and white, like groom and bride. He's more than just a groom at the end of the aisle. He's an actual human being, and she's more than just this commodity. She's a person, and you see them grow together as she realizes, at first with disappointment, that it's not going to be what she expected.
That was great. That was a great little monologue there. I love that. Yeah, I think I definitely remember seeing that, being able to visually see the change that was happening, not only for her, but the entire story as it morphed. And I personally really enjoyed the visualization aspects when it was leading up to the wedding. There was chapters where there was the wedding planning, and then as she was going through and, like, getting ready for the wedding, and then she takes this elaborate train ride to this, like, line of chapel wedding venues. Like, that's how I envisioned it, because she's not the only one getting married. This is, like, a wedding day for, like, a bunch of different people who have been paired up. So that whole visualization, and then her going into the actual chapel, walking down the aisle, all of that visual components, I can still see as I was reading, I can still see that picture. So props to you, because I love being able to actually visualize what's happening. So that was fun. All right. And so we meet her soon-to-be husband, the exact moment that she's meeting her soon-to-be husband, because that's one of the concepts, is that they don't know each other. And on their wedding day, as they're saying their vows, that's when they meet. So there's a lot of emotions that are happening. There's fear, anxiety, excitement. Like, is this going to be my perfect person? Am I going to be that 1% that this doesn't work out for? So how difficult was that to write? Or was that something that just came easily?
I remember having a very distinct notion that when she walked up the aisle, it shouldn't just be a private affair. It's watched on the wedding channel. They broadcast these weddings, so you're seeing people's reactions. And for me, this is awful, but I remember the entire time I was writing her kind of like engagement, I was thinking, this poor girl. Because I knew what Clark was going to be like, who is her groom. And I remember thinking, like, when she went through those doors and she was in the dress and, like, she was like, oh, my God, like, this is it. Thinking, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Because she gets, like, most people get to the end of the aisle and they have bought the company bit, which is, this is your perfect mate, believe it. She gets there and the guy she's faced with is just sort of like, I really don't want to be here, but I'm doing it because there are bigger reasons behind me getting married. And he's not a subtle person. Like, he's not good at hiding that. And, yeah, I remember, because I was really in flow when I was writing it, but I do remember thinking, like, oh, my God, this poor girl. Like, I've already straddled her with a mother who is just a nightmare. And then thinking, God, like, I'm really sorry. And I always think that about my characters when they go through, like, trauma or bad things happen to them. I think, I'm a terrible person. Like, I'm not a benevolent God. This is awful.
Oh, the perks of being a writer. Yeah, being able to know what your character is going to experience before it happens. Yeah, that's pretty in depth there. And yeah, her mother. Oh my goodness. Let's talk about characters a little bit, because her mom, I was just like, get out of here. And it also just added to the story. I loved that component because it was like that little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Conflict. That's it. So that little bit of conflict really pushed her to be like, okay, I'm ready to get away. But at the same time, it's just a different, difficult relationship. And then also when it comes to the characters, I really loved her friend Egypt and that friendship that was evolved. And I really liked her. And I think I really liked Clark because he was kind of like standoffish. He was kind of like a rebel. And at least in her eyes, in the very beginning, like, who is this guy? So who was your favorite character within the book? Or maybe who was your favorite to write?
I really liked Egypt also. People have often asked me if I would ever do another book based in that world. And I think if I did, it would be following her. And her friendship with Valentine very much morphs. And you can see it if you know what you're looking for. For her, it's something very different than it is for Valentine. And I loved having that representation. And in this society where you have everyone is paired off in a heterosexual manner, to have that kind of nuance there, where you're looking at, okay, how do people in this situation survive? Because it's not like you're in the 1950s where if you are gay you can just choose not to marry. You are by the government forced to do that. So that was a really interesting story concept. I loved her history as well. I loved the reasons why the characters were named what they were. So yeah, I really liked Egypt. And if I was ever going to do another book, and I've always said this about Something Blue, because people always say, like, oh, the ending didn't feel fulfilling to me. And I'm like, dystopian endings never are. Dystopian books never end with a ribbon around a package, because with these societies, it takes generations for those systems to be broken down and replaced. And you can never show that. You can never wrap that up for one character in a good way.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember finishing the book and going onto your website to be like, wait a minute, is there another book? But I completely understand, because I have a sci-fi trilogy and I'm trying to end it, and it's a post-apocalyptic. So it is like future based, and I'm going to end up doing the same thing to my readers, which is at the end, they still have to continue their life. We don't know what's going to happen with them, but it's the end of the book. That's not the end of their story. They can continue on. And so I completely understood. And I was still like, dang it, I want another book. So if you do write a second book about Egypt, I would be all over that. Just putting it out there, I'd be like, I'll be an ARC reader for you. I love this world. And something else I really loved about this world is I'm a total conspiracy theorist, like, binge watcher. I love watching conspiracy theories and just like all of that kind of concept. And there is a thread of this within the book, because there is that doubt in the system. What happens to that 1% who fails this success rate? So do you view yourself as a conspiracy theorist, or do you have that in our real world? And is that why it came into the book, or was that kind of just like a fluke?
I've always been a huge fan of the X-Files, I'll put it that way. My partner is also, I wouldn't say conspiracy theorist, but I would say he's very open-minded. We have those discussions, what do you think about this? And for me, with dystopias, that's kind of the whole point. Right. Like, you have this, the whole point of having a dystopian, especially a YA dystopian series, because we've now got like The Hunger Games and Divergent, and we have all these series that make up this little like niche subgenre. You know the main character will eventually end up fighting the system. They will eventually end up subverting the system and going, you know, screw this, I don't want to do this anymore. And it always costs them greatly. And I think that that also kind of speaks to the fact that it's never just one person that overturns these things. There has to be more than one. Like, if you have just an isolated character and nobody behind them and everyone else is just like really happy, it's never going to go anywhere. But yeah, whenever I studied dystopian literature for my dissertation for my undergraduate degree, so I've read all the classics and all the modern dystopias. And I do think that is a big part of the genre, is having that questioning there and evoking that in the reader as well.
I just love dystopian and I love conspiracy theory. But there's a little bit more than just that within the book. It's also, like you mentioned, romance. There is a romantic element within, and there's definitely sci-fi elements, like futuristic, like push a button and you have some clean clothes right in front of you ready to go. I loved that concept. And I think there's a little bit for everybody. There is that romance, a little bit of sci-fi, like I said. So who do you think should be the person to pick up this book?
I think if you have kind of a love for stories that are character-driven, I always try to make my stories character-driven. I think if you like immersive worlds, because I'm very descriptive, I think if you like the dystopian kind of staples, The Hunger Games, Uglies, Divergent, then yes, that you will like this book.
Definitely. And there's even a little bit, because I had read the Selection series
right
around the same time that I read this. And there's a little bit of that too, because like at the beginning, it's like all beautiful fluff and frills. Like this, you're getting ready for a wedding. So there's a little bit of that in there too. Oh, so much fun. All right, so we've talked about Something Blue, but this is only one of many books that you have on the shelves. So I would love for you to tell our listeners about some of the other books that you have out and this huge project that you have that intertwines them all.
So I always do like a deep breath before I talk about this because it's a lot. Because I have to constantly describe it to people. When I do book signings, I come away and I'm exhausted because I've had to continuously like explain this. So the series that I'm currently working on is called The Queens of Fantasy Saga. The Queens of Fantasy Saga is three trilogies that intertwine, and it's about three queens in three different dimensions. There is then a 10th book, which I am currently working on, where all three queens, their characters that surround them and their worlds all collide together in a massive plot that's been running through the 9 books to begin with. This is part one, so it's one saga one in something called the Christy Nicole Fantasy and Finiverse, which is a massive fantasy universe where all the characters connect and they can pop up in each other's stories, which is really fun. I have 70 novels planned for this currently. So once this saga's done, I will probably take a vacation and then come back and start on another series, which connects. But I have loved writing these books. I've been writing them for nearly 7 years now, with obviously books like Something Blue peppered in. I also have two poetry collections, one of which is releasing on the 1st of December, which is Zodiac themed, and my other one is Tarot themed. But yeah, the first trilogy is called the Tidal Kiss Trilogy, which is about mermaids. The second trilogy is called the Ashen Touch Trilogy, which is all about the underworld. And the third trilogy is called the Ethereal Embrace Trilogy, which is all about dragons, angels, unicorns, fae. there is a large undercurrent of Greek mythology running through it all, and also really diverse representation. My main character in the Ethereal Embrace trilogy has chronic pain and has my condition, so it's also about raising awareness for that. But yes, book 10 is going to be interesting to write. So
that is so exciting. I've had other authors on the show as well who have these bigger plot points that are going to expand years. I had one author on here, DC Gomez, and she's like, I have the books planned for the next 30 years of my author career. So how, I mean, you said you kind of have ideas for 70 books. How in depth are these ideas? Are they like, this is the main character, or do you actually have like plot points planned out already?
Yeah. I know the characters. So after this saga's done, my next projects will be 3-5 book series covering witches, werewolves, and vampires. Supernatural staples. And it all links, two of those, vampires and werewolves, link back to the Ash and Touch trilogy. So they're linked to the underworld in my universe. And I have the main characters and the plot points for the first 3 books of each of those series. So yes, I am.
So exciting. Yeah. And on your website, you actually describe it as fantasy infiniverse.
Yeah.
I read that and I was like, that is a very fun way to describe it. And it encompasses it. Like, it's not just a universe. Like, there's so many different components that are going to be brought into this. So awesome. So exciting. All right. So this is Read It With Whiskey, and it wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
So I don't drink whiskey often, but I do have a story about whiskey. When I was born, my auntie, who's actually... Okay, so when I was born, he said, am I an auntie or an uncle? Basically, is it a boy or a girl? And my mum said, you're an auntie. So I've always called him my auntie Tim. He gave me a bottle of whiskey that was 21 years old on the day I was born. And when I was 21, we opened it. So that's my favorite whiskey I've drank. It was Crown, I think.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's cool. When you were born, you were given whiskey. That's an interesting gift.
It was, yeah.
Like, you can't actually have it for another, you know,
20 years,
yeah.
It was really cool to open it, though, because we opened it with him there, and that was some strong stuff. Yeah. Good night.
Oh, I love that. So fun. I love hearing whiskey stories. Always a good time. All right. So where can our listeners find you and find your books online so they can follow along with your journey?
I have a website, which is christinenicole.com. And I have an author group I'm very active in called the Infiniverse Explorers on Facebook. I think we have nearly 1,000 members now, which is crazy. So yeah, head on over and you can find me there. I'm also on all the other social media. Just type in Christina Cole and you'll find me.
Yes. Oh, so much fun. Well, I've had a great time talking with you. I'm glad I got to learn a little bit more about Something Blue and about the entire big series that you have planned. I'm definitely here for the ride. We'll be following along. So just thank you so much for being on the show. Oh, wasn't that just so much fun talking to Christy? I loved our conversation. I loved hearing about all of the plans that she has for the future because, I mean, you guys heard, there's a lot of plans in the works, and I'm so excited to see everything roll out. All of her links are in the episode description, so definitely go check that out so you can go and buy her books. There's a bunch to binge read, and if you're not a binge reader, then you'll have plenty of books to read over the next year. And next week on Read It With Whiskey, we are going to be talking about hybrid reading. So back in the day when I had a Patreon, I no longer have a Patreon, so don't go look for it. But back in the day when I did have one, I had a few episodes regarding hybrid reading and what it is and why I absolutely love it. And it changed my life and my reading pace forever. So I've decided since Patreon is no longer here for Read It With Whiskey, I might as well put an episode about it here on the regular podcast. So that will be coming up next week. Until then, guys, bye. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I'm your host, Laura Gentinen, and I want to personally say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would love to get to know you. Hop on over to Instagram and follow us at Read It With Whiskey. Please chime in on this episode's post, share it on your social media and with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.